You're listening to XS Gaming Podcast, a podcast for gamers by gamers, with your hosts Xander Scullion and James Grusso, bringing you something old, something new, and a little bit of nostalgia too.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays, guys, and thank you for checking out another episode of XS Gaming Podcast. We're recording this on the 16th of December. I'm one of your hosts, Xander Scullion, and joined with me is my little co-host, my little helper, Mr. James Grusome. What's up, James?
Yes, it is Christmas, and I hope you all are Christmas wrapping up your presents and simply having a wonderful Christmas time out there, no matter when you may be listening to this. It is still about a week, just about right before the big day. So I hope it's boding you all well, no matter what you are doing.
Indeed, indeed. And I feel like it's almost like a Halloween kind of Christmas, because we have a returning guest, and I've had a lot of people on the group page be like, man, we love it when this guy's on the show. We're joined by none other than the singer of the Casket Creatures, Mr. Ryan Cadaver. What's up, Ryan?
What's up? I'm the ghost of Christmas now.
Yeah, I was sitting there talking to James about doing a Christmas special, and he was like, yeah, we're going to bring Ryan on. I'm like, okay, sounds great.
Hell yeah. I like your style, James.
The Halloween idea and Christmas, I was like, it's always such a fun one, and I've just been talking together about Christmas that was going on. I was like, hey, why not? Because I see Ryan is a guy that has been getting into the Christmas spirit, and I can always appreciate that. I had a few years where I kind of shoved it to the side, but I've really been trying to embrace it. So especially when I see friends in it and having a good, I think that really helps and can kind of help us all, you know, jump into the spirit together. So hence this share.
Indeed. Yeah, indeed. I mean, I think Christmas rules, and like, we all loved it as kids, you know, and everything. And I don't know. I'm constantly just trying to recapture my childhood with the lights and everything. It's like the older I get, the more I embrace Christmas. I'm like, I just want it to be Christmas all the time. Like, I love it now, which I went through the same thing where I was too cool for Christmas for a little while. And then I was like, wait, no, Christmas rules.
Now, we got a little bit of gaming news to talk about, just a little bit, but it's pretty good conversation pieces. One of the things is Super Smash Brothers is huge. It's outsold like the Wii U and the 3DS versions. This game like was out the first weekend and was just selling like hotcakes. And I know, Ryan, you've been playing Smash Brothers. Didn't you get Smash Brothers, James?
No, that's the thing. James is not really a Smash. I mean, I like smashing some things, but sometimes the game, not as much. It's one I do try to get into. I still may pick it up. It's not that it's bad. It's just been my thing. I still go back to the GameCube version that at the time had this really cool, like, 2D kind of like adventure mode. And, during the current times, we have so many kind of throwbacks to 2D games, that's not as rare. But during the GameCube time, that really was a big thing to me that I love so much. And I never really found that mode again in another game. And like I said, I'm open to checking it out. So I know the roster sounds insane. You know, the Castlevania stuff added in really seems like they went all out with this version, which I really appreciate. Kind of curious to see what you guys that, you know, have actually played it think about it.
Yeah, it's good, man. And they kind of have an adventure mode like that again in this version in classic mode. And it's funny you bring that up, because I remember playing Melee and playing as Mario, and like you were in that 2D like Mario kind of stage, and I was just like, man, it'd be so great if we had a Mario game like this. And this was like before the new Super Mario Brothers, and like now there's so many new Super Mario Brothers games that people are kind of just like kind of burn out, even though they're going to be coming out with the new Super Mario Brothers, like the Wii U port on the Switch, which I still might get that, because that was probably one of my favorites out of them other than the original DS. But Ryan, what did you think about the new Smash?
Oh man, I love it. Like right now I'm actually watching my girlfriend play it. It's just it's so much fun, man. I've had a blast with it. And the single player adventure mode with the spirits is really fun.
Yeah,
you're unlocking all these different spirits from different franchises and stuff, and I love it, man. And the roster's insane.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that they've even added like the assist trophies, these characters that will come out and help you when you pick up items. And one of the characters was like people from Virtual Fighter. I was like, yeah. Holy crap. I'm like, there's Virtual Fighter characters in here? I mean, that's the first time I've seen Virtual Fighter. I mean, other than like maybe playing Yakuza, but that was the first time I've seen Virtual Fighter in a very long time. And I'm like, man, wouldn't that be cool if they came out with like a Virtual Fighter collection on the eShop? That'd be kind of cool. I'd like that.
Yeah,
well, that would be awesome. Get three, man. I just want damn three. I'm like, I was going about that. It's kind of like one of my favorite ones. It's very nice. Kage has a very cool snow level, which kind of fits with the Christmas season, even though it's not snowing here, at least, thankfully, right now. So
it almost did. It snowed a little bit over there actually, where you're at.
Well, no, we did. We got some actually last Sunday. I woke up, typically will, to early in the morning. I go get my cat and go back to bed, and I looked outside and I could see some white, and I had my glasses on, and I was like, is that no? And yeah, we actually had a tiny bit of accumulation on a little bit of like shed roofs and some various things in the yard, but it actually and I'm not opposed to, hey, a little bit of snow on Christmas. Everybody likes a white Christmas with snow. Yeah, as long as it goes away the next day, because some of us got to go back to work,
Indeed, indeed. And some other gaming news. Have you guys heard about the whole like Soulja Boy making game consoles? That's like the big topic right now.
It's our friend RGT85. I've seen quite a few videos of his about it. That's the main source I've seen where it did kind of become a hot topic for a minute. That just really it's kind of silly for just in the know with gaming and systems, and a lot of us are proponents of pies such that you can get from RetroBroGaming.com. But this guy just slapping his name. At Soulja Boy, I'm not too into the rap very much, but kind of been on a downturn. Like, he was kind of hot. Most rappers have made worth of a career lately. They're not as long lasting as some like Wu-Tang and such used to be. So they try to capitalize while while they can, and he kind of went on a little downturn. Hadn't heard about him in a while, and then he pops up with this game system, which is everything I see is just AliExpress, yeah, little bootleg Yosk systems with his name on them, selling them for a jacked up price. And I mean, honestly, if you buy one, you're an idiot. We're not going to say that about NES minis, Super NES minis. You want the PS mini, go for this right here. Is just, it seems like a hot load of Christmas crappy cream.
Yeah. What'd you hear about this, Ryan? Like, what'd you think about it?
I didn't hear anything about it, but it sounds ridiculous. Like, yeah. It sounds like a waste of money and a waste of time. And it sounds like some weird marketing scheme.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird because like it's pretty much like he's taking, these Chinese knockoff consoles from like AliExpress and Wish.com, places like that. And he's getting these consoles and he's like endorsing his name on it. And apparently he's got like three consoles. He's got like a handheld, he's got a console, and then he's got one where he's like calling it the Fuse, and it's pretty much like an Android box. The crazy thing and the very interesting thing about this, and this segues way to the other conversation, is not only is he selling these emulation boxes and trying to pass them as his like new home console, but they're already preloaded with ROMs like Nintendo and all this stuff. And I'm wondering how this guy is not keeping himself from getting in trouble with Nintendo yet. Like, I'm waiting for Nintendo to be like, hey, rapper guy, you're selling our IPs and properties, because Nintendo is very, very they're big stifflers. Yeah, they're very big stifflers when it comes to that. Because, a matter of fact, that segues way to my other conversation, and that is that someone's already been caught selling preloaded NES like modded minis, and also selling modded Switches. And this guy right here is like in a world of hurt, because Nintendo is pretty much going after this guy and charging him $150,000 per copyright infringement. And like, just do the math in your head. That's 150,000 times 800 just off the Nintendo library. This guy's like fucked. I don't want to laugh about it, but this is like, the thing about it is like, I don't think it was so much the modded NES minis that got him caught as much as the modded Switch, because that's very, very new, and he was selling like a 64 gig SD card that had games like Mario Odyssey, Smash Brothers, a couple of other games that you could just buy. And you know, some people couldn't understand it. Some people were just like, well, why is Nintendo mad about this? It's not like they're going to lose that much money. It's like, no, think about it. I mean, these same people, when you talk to them about the Dreamcast, a lot of people tell you, hey, the Dreamcast failed because people ended up learning how to burn games and they had piracy. And you think about, logically, if you have a Switch and you can burn any game you want and you don't have to buy games, why would you buy games? You know?
Yeah, I think that, I like to support the things that I love, whether it's music, movies, games. I love Nintendo. I will gladly pay the price that they want me to pay for their products, you know, because that's how they stay in business. I think that whole thing's really shady. Now, I think with like older retro stuff, I feel a little different about it. But like as far as like new games like Smash Brothers and stuff like that, like I think that's very wrong.
Yeah,
I get why Nintendo would be very litigious about that, because that's their business.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're blowing up when you're messing with consoles, you know, being strange and like that. Old ones, yeah, you know, I think we all kind of view that. I really don't mind, like, some people frown upon, you know, preloaded such, which I don't. Because to me, that's the whole point of getting a Pi, is to not have to deal with all the crap. And I don't want to add. So if I can get one already with games, that's, you know, the way it should be to me. I don't have a problem. But when you start, you know, messing with these current gen stuff, it's very weird. Actually, looking in our message when we were talking prior to the book, I had an ad pop up or wish.com. They had a very interesting looking console that imagine they have a lot of things, kind of like AliExpress has all kinds of weird cheap crap, but they had a system that it actually had like Super Mario Land. Is that the one? Yeah, the Wii one. It had either a Wii or Wii U Mario game on it, on this little system, and I didn't get a chance to actually look into it to see what it was. But I mean, I guess now we're seeing maybe if, you know, these systems sometimes have managed to hang around. You know, NES, Super NES, lots of our retro games, but kind of starting to see a flop with a few more current ones, which is kind of interesting to see. And like I said, Wish, man, that's just crazy. Everything from very odd, either sex toys or dog toys. I'm not sure what some of them are.
Yeah, some
it's
of the
weird place.
Yeah, some of the stuff on it, like on those sites, are just really, really crazy. But yeah, James, you're cutting in and out a little bit when you were talking about that. But you're pretty much just talking about how, you know, we're starting to see more and more of these like Chinese knockoff consoles, and you know, we see it all the time on Facebook. Like someone's always selling like some sort of like Raspberry Pi or some sort of, you know, modded retro console or something like that. And thing about it is just like it's going to get worse. It's going to get a lot worse. I mean, a matter of fact, I went to the mall the other day, and they had a kiosk of freaking this Nintendo Mini knockoff that was, you know, had Contra 8 on it, because you know Contra 8 is such a great game. It's the best jungle. It's the best jungle level ever from the NES original Contra. But you know they were selling stuff
like
that.
See, that's funny because that kiosk, like you mentioned, though, that is one of like those RBOs you used to see like a decade ago.
Yeah,
that levels of Contra and Mario. You kind of think they would have stepped up it and like, you know, could I just get Contra 1, 2, and 3, and like I'll be good with that. I don't need, you know, 800 Contra levels.
Yeah. I mean, it's just gonna get worse before it gets any better. But what we're gonna do, guys, we're gonna take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about some Christmas memories. Also talk about some games that we're looking forward to in 2019. and kind of reflect back about this year in gaming, because the way our schedule is, by the time we probably record the next episode, it might be the next year. So it's weird thinking about that. It's already almost 2019. But sit back, relax, guys. We're going to have some Blues Stinger Christmas music, because that's a staple Christmas song of Access Gaming Podcast, and we'll be right back. And we are back, guys, and we fixed some of the technical issues during the break. We were having some internet things, but that's not going to stop the Christmas spirit. It just can't. We're not going to have the internet bah humbug us this podcast episode. So we're going to talk about some Christmas memories, something that I thought that would be really, really fun for this episode. I'm going to pass the mic over to Ryan. Ryan, what is like one of your favorite video game Christmas memories?
I mean, I think I really associate gaming with Christmas because I've always gotten a game for Christmas from my parents. That's like what I've always gotten. I think that my best memory is like, it was like either Christmas Eve or the day before, and my dad like revealed to me that they had gotten me a PS2, and he was like, he wanted to play it just as bad as I did. So like he was like, hey, look, I got this PS2. Don't tell your mom, but we're just going to play it now, like till Christmas. And I'm like, awesome, sounds good. So, like, yeah, he got me, I think, Battle Arena Toshinden. No, was that PS2?
That was PS1.
That was PS1. What was it? He got me, I remember Soul Calibur, but I think one of the first games he got me was Silent Scope. Ooh. I love that game. So, like, that's one of the ones we played, like, just nonstop. But yeah, like, so I think the PS2, like, getting the PS2 early, like, a couple days before Christmas was, like, super cool, and that's, like, a memory I'll never forget.
That's pretty cool. I have a very similar story with the PS2 like that. Like, I was getting it for Christmas, and it was, like, my mom ended up, like, she had it in layaway, and she ended up, like, paying it off early, and was just kind of, like, you know, that one moment where she was, like, do you want it now, or do you want to wait till Christmas? And I'm, like... because I already knew I was getting it, so I'm like, I want it now. And so, like, you know, I got a PS2, and plus my birthday's right around Christmas. My birthday's on the 12th, so it was kind of like a birthday-slash-Christmas kind of gift, and, like, for Christmas, I just got a couple of games. I mean, I think the first game I got on the PS2 was, like, Tony Hawk 3, and then, like, you know, for Christmas, I got, like, one or two extra PS2 games I can't even remember right now. I think one of them was Grand Theft Auto 3, actually. And nice. Yeah, that was just great. Now, what about you, James?
You know, I'd say for me at that time, it was pretty commonplace for my mom to let me pick out my own games, because she honestly didn't really know what I was going to want. And that particular year, we had the TMNT2, the arcade game, which was really awesome. That was one of the first games I think we had on the NES that was, you know, while definitely not nearly as good as the arcade, it at least held up its own and was fairly comparable and at least had the two-player option. And my uncle had come by for Christmas, lots of times like he normally would, and he actually sat there and played that game with me, which is funny because I remember the times I played games like with him or my mom or even my wife now, people that aren't typically, you know, your normal gamer, but they actually, you know, decided to sit down and play with me. Like when my mom beat my ass at Karate Champ one time by accident, which I still remember. But yeah, getting that TMNT2, which, like I said, was an awesome game, and having my uncle, who was a huge influence on me as far as showing me like horror movies, like the old Universal stuff when I was younger, he was such a big part of like who I am now. So it was really cool to, you know, have him join in on something on Christmas that was a big part of my life at that time. Like, you know, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were with so many of us.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember the TMNT arcade game on the NES, and it came with that Pizza Hut coupon. And there's people, and there's still people that will, like, make YouTube videos where they still have that coupon. They try to redeem it at Pizza Hut. They're like, hey, can I get a pizza?
I think they let somebody actually get one. Like, there was, like, a cool store. Yeah. And the Pizza Hut actually, you know, let the guy get the free pizza. I think it was, like, one of those little mini personal pans or something like that they used to have.
Yeah, those were really big back then, man. Like, I remember, like, just about any time you got, like, a Pizza Hut coupon as a kid, it was always that personal pan, and it just made you feel badass. But it was just, like, a little pizza, like a little four-slice pizza. But as a kid, it was like, man, I got my own personal pan pizza. This is awesome. speaking of awesome, too, like, one of my favorite Christmas memories was actually getting my Sega Genesis. And the reason why it's kind of funny and kind of cool is because I got my Sega Genesis like back in 1996. Like it was towards the time that I remember when it was coming, when I got it, the PlayStation and N64 was coming out. And I was asking for an N64. I was like, yeah, I want an N64 for Christmas. And I ended up getting a Sega Genesis. But I wasn't upset at all. I was like, holy shit, I was like, holy crap, I got a Sega Genesis, you know, because I always wanted one. And it came with the Genesis 6-pack, and it completely blew my mind that there was 6 games on one cartridge, because at the time, I was like, there's no way you could put 6 games on one cartridge. I thought maybe it was like one of the games that were in there, like almost like a cereal box prize, like, oh, you'll get 1 of 6 in here. And I was like, please don't be Columns. Please don't be Columns. So I didn't want that for Christmas. I mean, I love Columns, but I was just like, that's not the first game I want on my Genesis. And then, yeah, I mean, it came with like Golden Axe, Streets of Rage, Sonic the Hedgehog, you know, Revenge of Shinobi, games today that people still talk about when they talk about the Genesis. It all came on that one cartridge. And I remember I also went to Toys R Us and bought Sonic the Hedgehog 3. I remember that.
Yeah, that really was a great deal, you know, to get that many, like, good games. You know, some were a little bit older at the time, but still, when you think about it, to fit that many good games on one cart, you're kind of like, man, like, why didn't they do that more? Like, we're probably getting kind of ripped off for most of our childhoods.
I'll tell you what I always liked, too, like, getting a new console, like, PS2 and, like, PS1, it's like you get those demo discs.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, that was always a big part of Christmas for me. It was like playing these like demo discs and checking out all these games that I couldn't afford, but I thought looked really cool. And it was kind of exciting to just peek into all these different, you know, now you can just download demos and it's not as special, but having the disc was kind of a neat thing.
Yeah. I was like, when I got my PlayStation, oh, this is a good Christmas story right here. So I got my PlayStation for Christmas. And I was like, I felt like I was like on the high heavens because I finally had a console that was like current enough that, you know, I could understand when people were talking about games like Battle Arena Toshin. And I'm like, okay, all right, I know what that game is. I know what Tekken is, you know. And I went to CVS, and back then it was called Refco. I went to
Refco, hell yeah.
I went to Refco and bought a PlayStation magazine that had a demo disc, and it was a really cool demo disc. It had like Silent Hill, it had like Metal Gear Solid and stuff. But I remember reading the magazine and being like, okay, cool. Now that I have a PlayStation, I can read PlayStation magazine. I'm a part of this now. And I remember the second page, it talked about new PlayStation 2 coming out next year.
Oh, that sucks.
Talk about a buzzkill, man. Like, I finally had my PS2, I mean, my PlayStation, and they were already talking about the PlayStation 2. And I'm just like, well, at least PlayStation games will get cheap for me. So,
you got to look on the bright side sometimes. I mean, yeah. That was like when I got my PlayStation, I saved up money to buy my girlfriend at the time some gold necklace or some crap, and then I smartened up near the end and I said, you know what, I'm gonna spend this on myself. And I got a PlayStation, a memory card, a controller, and Tekken, and it was one of the greatest days of my life.
Oh man, hell yeah. Now let's get into one of our not so great Christmas memories before we get into games we're anticipating for 2019. So Ryan, what's a Christmas that, and it always sounds bad kind of saying like, what's a Christmas you didn't like? Because it always makes you feel like I don't want to sound spoiled or anything, but it's just like, what's kind of a crappy Christmas when it comes to gaming that you had? Like maybe a bad game or something.
Honestly, I don't even know if it was a bad game. Cause like, I was always kind of like, hey, give me this. And then my parents would give me that. But I think that honestly, this year is going to be my worst gaming Christmas, because usually this time in the year, like everything slows down and like I can take some days off work and just like finish like all the games that I've had in my backlog for the year and just kind of like get through some stuff and be like, cool, and just veg out for like 3 or 4 days because I'm using up my vacation time. But this year, like, my work is so insane that, like, I'm not going to get any time off, like, not even Christmas Eve, nothing. So this is probably going to be kind of a crappy one for gaming because I'm not going to have any time.
What about you, James?
I kind of hear Ryan on that as far as, I've had years before where the one time where I bought myself the Wii U, which didn't end up being, the longest lasting console, but I was trying to relive a memory where I got it and I woke up on Christmas and played Mario, which was still fun. And I mean, and I learned you can't really go all the way back. Last year I bought a few more just random gifts for like me and my wife. And this year I haven't really got much of anything. I did get some wrestling tickets for me and a couple friends in January to go to an NXT show.
Nice.
Which has been really awesome. Got like fifth row at an armory. So that's probably going to be the best live wrestling event I'll have ever been to. And I went to a couple of WrestleManias, which are just kind of a headache sometimes. But I'm still looking forward, to this Christmas. I subscribe. One of my favorite podcasts is the Purple Stuff podcast. I know Ryan listens to that, too.
I love it.
And Dinosaur Dracula is one of the guys on there. Has a great YouTube channel if you love just old food and snacks and all kinds of fun stuff. But he has a subscription service, the Dinosaur Dracula box. And you get all kinds of, like, old – like, you get legit old Happy Meal toys – Alf cards, wrestling cards, all kinds of cool stuff. And I actually have 5 or 6 of these boxes just kind of saved up. And I'm actually going to open all those on Christmas, which I think is going to end up being pretty fun. Sometimes I'll try to do something a little bit more. But I really have just been getting back into the Christmas spirit. Sometimes I'll send out a random present or so to a friend. But this one might be one of the more low-keyed ones. Though I will say I did get a gift one time. I went with my dad to his wife's family's Christmas many years ago. And, they try to get a present for everybody. And I got some random, like, NC State hoodie, that was just – it was okay because it had like a wolf on it, and like I like wolves are pretty cool. And I just still, I'm still pretty appreciative of anything. My dad seemed a bit more critical. He's like, "Oh, we're UNC fans in this family." And I'm like, "No, I kind of like this wolf, man. He he looks cooler. so that was one of the more odd presents, which still actually, like I said, wasn't bad. I mean, it's useful. I like clothes. Sometimes on my route, people will ask if I want something, which that's always an awkward question. But socks is a good answer to throw out sometimes. If somebody wants to get me a pack of just white socks, that's always great. You know, that was such dread as a kid, like clothing, like no.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, socks are the greatest thing ever.
It's so funny when you're a kid, like you don't want clothes for Christmas. And like when you get older, like you bring up a good point, because I would tell everybody, everyone that would ask me, hey, what do we want for Christmas? I would say like blank t-shirts and socks. And I would tell everyone that, because like if I tell everyone I want socks and blank t-shirts, and chances are I'm going to get a lot of socks and a lot of blank t-shirts, because I did construction at the time. So I didn't like to wear my nice shirts, you know, doing construction. I wanted to wear like those like cheap Fruit of a Loom shirts. And I was like, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I want like a bunch of socks, because by the end of the year, all those socks are going to be gone. So because they always go missing. But one Christmas that I felt like that was kind of a letdown was when I got WCW Nitro for Christmas.
Oh, God, that's like the worst Christmas ever.
Because I played like WWF Warzone, and I was like, man, this is freaking badass. But I've always been a little more partial towards like WCW, because I like Sting and I like the NWO and stuff. So Nitro came out, and it looked good. And, you know, when you first start out and you had those little FMVs where you had the wrestlers do the promos and stuff, you're like, man, this is going to be such a great game. And then you actually played, and it was just like, I don't know if it was like trying to be arcadey or what, but it was not a good game.
Yeah, very, very arcadey. And I've said before on here, that was the catalyst to me getting an N64, you know, because I bought that game and it was so bad, I took it back and got NWO WCW Revenge. And I got without even having a 64, I got that game after. That was back when you could buy a game new, and if it sucked, you could just take it back, which is a good policy, but probably also not a good store policy. But man, that game, like WCW really lost out, like when they lost the license, you know, from AKI, and they started doing the WWE games, because those were so, you know, you just don't hear about wrestling games like that anymore. Like everybody was into those, and
yeah,
man, you know, even though, like I said, the Warzone at the time, it's like, hey, you try to deal with it, but I'll take Warzone any day over Nitro. Like, yeah, dude, I think you win for like worst Christmas. Like,
brutal. And you know what's bad is they did it again. Like they made Nitro and that was horrible, and then they made Thunder, and Thunder was like the same game. It was just like Thunder instead of Nitro, and I was just like, and I fell for it again. I ended up renting that one. I was like, you know, Nitro was pretty bad, but maybe Thunder's a little better. Maybe Thunder redeemed itself. It wasn't until like WCW Mayhem that it got a little better. Like Mayhem was a little better than those.
It's bad, but I'm a huge fan of Backstage Assault, just because it's just so wacko. Like there's no rings in that game at all. You can bounce people off the tires for ropes. You can set people on fire with like a bum's you know, fire pit and a big steel drum, and you can light a stick or something and burn Sting. It's bad, but it's fun. And there was supposed to be another one. I think originally AKI was gonna go back to WCW, but they ended up going out of business, which would have been a shame, because you know, that game, you kind of think of like what could have been if there had been another one of those.
I mean, we could have played as David Arquette.
Oh man! Did y'all watch that?
He's recently, yeah, he did. He had a match. Oh, he decided to, he'd been razzed for years. He was a huge wrestling fan. I mean, the guy has a heart of gold. All his money he donated from WCW, he gave to Owen Hart and Brian Pillman's family. And people still blame him for WCW going out of business, which is not his fault. But he came back and did a match against Nick Gage. He's one of the kings of death matches, originally from CZW, and he's in a great fed now called GCW, which has a man, they just have all kinds of like old guys come back. PCO used to be one of the Quebecers. he's 50 years old and has come back and is one of the biggest names on the indies. But David Arquette fought Nick Gage in a death match, light tubes, and there was one spot where he got cut. Well, he kind of freaked out and he fell back when he shouldn't have, and he almost cut his jugular. He really almost died, and he left the ring. But he came back and finished it, and it.
Yeah,
he's
I can't believe he finished the match. Like, that's insane.
It's pretty hardcore.
He finished it. I mean, the guy, like I said, it's just he admits it was his fault. And, I mean, he just wanted a little bit of respect. He's a huge wrestling fan, and he just got tired of people talking crap on him for almost 20 years. That's all the guy wanted, and I think it kind of cured him, though, because everything afterwards, he said he's might be done with wrestling now and is going to focus more again on acting, but man.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah, I don't know. That would suck to be, like, a massive fan of, like, a certain thing, and that fan base, like, hates you. Like, that would suck.
Yeah.
Pretty bad. Yeah. So, I could definitely see his anger and him wanting to do that, but yeah, don't cut your jugular. That ain't good.
Now, speaking of good though, let's get into some games of 2018. And man, this year, like 2017 was just an amazing year in gaming, and we had like a brand new Zelda, brand new Mario the same year. We had so many great games come out in 2017 that I was just like, hey, is 2018 going to live up to it? And at first, it was kind of a slow burn. Like, there wasn't a whole lot of games that were first coming out. But then towards the last leg of it, I want to say, like, when it hit August, October, like, we got so much crap come out that it was just like, I couldn't keep up. But what's a game, Ryan, that you would say that really epitomizes 2018 in your opinion, like a game that you just really love that makes you think of that year?
I really, really loved the PS4 Spider-Man, like, a lot. I've always been a big fan of Spider-Man, and I think that to me is like the definitive, like, Spider-Man, the definitive like cast of villains. I thought it was really well done. The story was great. I loved all the unlockable suits. It reminded me of unlocking all the suits on the PS1 Spider-Man game. That was, like, still my favorite. So, yeah, I would say Spider-Man, and then close runner-up would probably be God of War, because God of War was so amazing.
See, I haven't played God of War yet, and I've been getting a lot of shit from my friends because I still haven't played it. But my brother-in-law got a copy of God of War, so I'm like, I'm going to borrow his copy and play it, because it is a game I want to try out. I just, it was like, dude, we had like 2 or 3 months where it was just like back-to-back blockbusters I couldn't keep up with. It was like Spider-Man, God of War, it was just like, shit, I don't only have but so much money, because it was just like, do I want Yakuza, or do I want God of War? Do I want, God of War, or do I want Fist of North Star? It was just, it was crazy. It was really crazy. A game for me for 2018, and granted, I'm making a top five games of 2018, so I'm going to not mention those games, but I do have some honorable mentions I want to have in the game in that video. So I want to mention one of my honorable mentions of 2018 that I really enjoyed, and that was Cosmic Star Heroine. It's an indie RPG. It's a short RPG. It's only like 15 hours, maybe 20 hours long, which is unheard of for any sort of JRPG today. It's retro. It feels like almost like a Lunar, like a Sega CD kind of like RPG. It was really good. It was really good. I do highly recommend that. Now, what about you, James?
I mean, I'm going to have to still throw out Yakuza as just one of those titles for me, because it really was like that year of we've seen so much. It's a title I thought was just gone at one point, and now there's almost like too many to even play. I'm still working on 6. I did take a break, as I'm known to do throughout the series, so I'm probably going to pick that up again this month, because I always love playing Yakuza around Christmas. There's always some type of level in there. It's just fun going through.
It's very Christmas. It's a very Christmas-like series.
Yeah, you definitely will hit so many points in there. But just, seeing that, having Yakuza 6, Kiwami 2. I mean, hell, Zero was in January of this year?
No, that was last year.
That was last year. Okay, it's such a blur. Six was this year, though, right?
Yeah, we had six and Kiwami, too.
Kiwami, too.
Okay, good. At least we got those. But it's such a resurgence. Seeing the Fist of the North Star game and then having the other one, the Dead Eyes. Is that what it was?
Judge Eyes, which is now called Judgment. That's what it's
Judgment.
Called now. Yeah.
That one coming out, just seeing these guys doing it, you know, other franchises. The Fist of the North Star is one I'm still real curious to play and definitely want to, because it's kind of struggled throughout the years. It's been really hit or miss with most of his games, mostly miss, and which is kind of sad because it is such a cool franchise. But to see these guys get a hold of it, and then with the next game, the Judgment coming out, which still looks a little different. That's the thing I like, is like they all have a little something different while they're still similar, but it's a great system. So it's like, why not use it? But just to see this whole team get so much love and get to do all these projects, it just seems like, you know, over a decade of work, like, finally paid off. You know, these guys are putting out these games for so long, and, you know, so many of us knew how good it was, but to see other people, so many people embrace it, you know, whether it's me and you talking about it, you know, me sending a game out to a friend, you know, which I have done. And
yeah, you did that to me, and you got me hooked.
Yes. See, just sharing this game, telling people about it, it's a mixture of it, and to see people actually really loving it. You know, I haven't run into anybody that played it that thinks it's shit. Which, I mean, that to me is so cool, and I love it, you know, and it's like, it was my thing for a bit, but hell, the more work those guys get, the more money they make, and the more games they get to put out, like, that just, that's what the spirit of Christmas is all about right there.
Yeah, I was going to say, one of the cool things about this year is I felt like there was so many games that I would talk to Ryan about. Like, Ryan, you would, like, message me on Facebook, and you're like, yo, man, I just watched your review on this game, and this game's freaking awesome. There's so many games you played this year for my reviews, man. It's so fun.
Oh, yeah. No, it's really cool, man. Like, I really respect both of y'all's opinions on gaming. So, like, when I'm looking – and I think we all have similar tastes. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't like just the straightforward, you know – whatever the big AAA title is, like, we like kind of like weird stuff, and like we, you know, when you guys suggest something, like, it's usually something unique and something different and not something I've seen a billion times. Like, I just picked up Fist of the North Star. I got it for like $29 on Amazon. Like, they're just running it really cheap one day, and I ordered it, and man, I have been loving the hell out of it. I've probably put like 6 or 7 hours into it. I love it.
Yeah, that's a good price. I would say $30 is fair for that, because I mean I spent $60 on it, and I mean it's not a bad game. There's some parts of it I really didn't care for. I will say this, Ryan, grind the hell out of that game, because towards the end of the chapter it gets freaking hard as hell. So make sure you grind really, really. You want to be at least like level 70 before you get to the last chapter.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah, because it gets insane. But yeah, I think 30 is a good sell. Talking about, you know, games of 2019, though, what's a game, Ryan, that you're looking forward to for 2019?
Definitely Resident Evil 2. Like, everything I've seen has gotten me more and more hyped. Resident Evil 2 is one of my favorite games of all time. And to see it getting a proper, like, not just like an update, like, I mean, it is a full from the ground up remake. It looks like they're going to actually tie the stories and the campaigns together to where, like, they're more cohesive than just, like, you know, different scenarios. So I really am excited to see how it plays out. I think the graphics look incredible. It looks really brutal, really gory. Also just, like, you know, weirdly Resident Evil too, so yeah. It still has a lot of the charm of the series.
Hey, what about you, James?
Yeah, I've got to be with Ryan on that. You know, my initial answer, of course, is anything's team with the Yakuza team is still going to do. Just curious to see, you know, the other games that'll come out, how they'll vary, you know, just like what we'll see, what properties they'll do. But I mean, Resident Evil 2 is that game so many have been waiting on. I think a lot of people gave up hope, and everything I kept reading made it seem like it was still coming. The fact that, you know, we finally got some, you know, video footage of it really solidifies it. But I never gave up that it wasn't. I mean, the first one, was such a, you know, a great remake. It's really like, you know, what remakes should be, and the fact that it's had a life that's kept on going. But 2 is that one that's just been lingering back. And I mean, as good as the first remake was, just like, how good is this one going to be?
Yeah.
It's really going to be insane. Huge fan of alligators. I can't wait to see what that scene looks like in the game. And it's just, you know, people love that series. It's good to see them still coming out, whether they're putting out, you know, the older ones again on the Switch, whether they're putting out part 4 for the, like, billionth time, which I might finally try to fully play through one day. But I mean, 2, dude, that was kind of like the, you know, one of the epitomes of Resident Evil for me is always 1 and 2. I did really love 0 the bit I went back and played. Everything after, I don't know. Like, will we see a remake of 3? I don't think 4 needs one. Like, Code Veronica, that gets kind of swept under the rug a little bit. You don't see it as much. But, I mean, this might be the last, like, big RE remake we see. But I think it's really going to be worth the wait. And, I mean, is that coming out, like, near the first quarter of next year?
Yeah, it comes
looks
out.
Looks like it.
Yeah, it comes out January, I believe.
Oh, wow, okay. That's not far off at all, man. I mean, that's just
what a way to start 2019, man. Like, start off the new year with the Resident Evil 2 remake. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
And with that, yeah, that team too. I wonder, you know, because I really, you know, 7 was so different but so cool. Like, what will we see with a Resident Evil 8? The Revelation series, everything I read about that was they wanted to keep, you know, like a remake series going, the Revelations going, and just the numbered games. So, I mean, you know, shoot, this year could be like a really big one just for Resident Evil in general. Really looking forward to see, like, you know, what they'll do. Because they're usually not, especially now, they've never really, like, let us down. I mean, the last one was so different, but man, they really kind of changed things up. So who knows what, like, 8 will look like. It's just going to be a really cool part of next year, I think.
Yeah, I will say, too, for folks that are listening that, you know, are wanting to get your Capcom fix, not only are we going to have Resident Evil 2 remade, but we're also going to have an HD remaster of Onimusha as well. So if you have not had a chance to play Onimusha, now's the time because, you know, to me, I think this could be a little bit of a guinea pig from Capcom to see how popular Onimusha is, and maybe we'll get a new Onimusha. I mean, who knows? Maybe we'll have that crossover of Devil May Cry Onimusha game. Like, that would just be, wow. That'd just be freaking insane. Because we also get a new Devil May Cry next year as well. And the demo's on Xbox One. I don't have an Xbox One, so I haven't played the demo yet. But I've heard good things. I've heard really good things. But closing out with the show, we can talk about games we've been playing recently. James, what have you been playing, buddy?
You know, lately it's been a lot of the getting up on the SNK collection. Just recently they put out a DLC for 11 more games. A lot of them are, you know, more basic arcade games, but it's still cool to have them. I still love the collections like that. And, you know, just that extra content just really adds to it. And Akari Warriors 3 is just really weird, I got to say. That's one I never really played a whole lot. I probably will be playing a little bit of, because I like to do it around Christmas time, is the Days Before Christmas, DAZE, which was on Genesis and Super NES. And it's just a really cool platformer. You know, you're Santa Claus, there's presents and elves and crap like that. And you get to turn into a really cool devil. It's called Anti-Claws. It's kind of the reverse, and you get to beat people with your sack of toys.
Why have I not heard about this game? What the hell?
Dude, I think a lot of people miss
it. That sounds insane.
It's great. I mean, check your pies to see if maybe it's on there. But yeah, it's called The Days Before Christmas. It's I found it on some of my first emulators I had on my original Xbox, and it was just an odd one. You know, like, there was actually quite a few Christmas games. While we're talking about them real quick, The Days Before Christmas, there was, like, Santa Claus Jr., lots of Santa Saves the Earth, and a lot of these were, like, GBA games. They even had another Gremlins game. Gremlins is a big thing I like to watch around Christmas. It's a very good Christmas movie, and there was even a Gremlins game on GBA. So that was kind of weird, but you know, I'm going to play a couple Christmassy type games and try to watch a few more movies. I always got to watch Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, which is one of the greatest Christmas specials ever, along with the Peanuts. And I'd also recommend the Christmas Chronicles on Netflix with Kurt Russell as Santa
Claus.
Oh,
yeah, I've heard good things about that movie.
That one's really good. And also The Man Who Invented Christmas, which is kind of like a fictionalized story of Charles Dickens writing the Christmas Carol. And then for one to definitely stay away, which gets my big lump of coal, I'm going to give to Mother Krampus, which is just a really big piece of crap that you should avoid. I really love the Krampus movie from a few years back. That was pretty good. And there's a few out there. Christmas Horror Story is an awesome anthology, but Mother Krampus is really bad. And that's my gift to you all to tell you not to watch it. So I hope you all have a Merry Christmas.
What about you, Ryan?
Right now, I'm playing the new Tomb Raider game, which is really good, Shadow of the Tomb Raider. I'm enjoying that. And then Smash Brothers, and that's the main thing. And then occasionally we play Overcooked 2, just in case like we want to hate each other, because it's the most aggravating game on the planet. But it's a lot of fun.
Nice.
And I'm going to do like James said, like just watch a bunch of Christmas movies. I got to watch Christmas Vacation like 3 or 4 times just because that movie is still just hilarious to me.
I had that song stuck in my head this morning, actually. I was going out for my smoke, and I'm like, Christmas time is here.
Get ready for Christmas Vacation.
It's so good. It's held up so well, and it's still just so funny. Like, I never cannot laugh at that movie. So that's one that I'm gonna watch a lot. And I'm going to play some Yakuza, and it's going to be great. I'm going to make it the best Christmas it can possibly be.
Nice, nice. Myself, I mean, I've been playing more Monster Boy. I'm almost done with that. I have a review up on that. Really, really good game. It was actually my one 10 out of 10 game that I had this year on my channel. Like, when I did the review, it got a 10 out of 10. I cannot recommend that game enough. But I've been playing Monster Boy, Curse of the Kingdom. I've been playing that. I've been playing, of course, Smash Brothers, just unlocking characters, playing a little bit of online, playing a little bit of Warrior of Light, a little bit of classic mode. There's just so much content on the Smash Brothers game that it's insane. It's almost overwhelming. And last night, I downloaded the Wipeout collection on PS4 because it's on sale for like $5. And I'm like, I like Wipeout. It's kind of F-Zero like. So I might play a little bit of that. You know, I'm going to check out that Days of Christmas, though. I might check it out, and if I like it, I might do a live stream of it on Christmas Eve.
It's a very fun game. Like I said, it's not the best thing in the world, but it's better than you would expect just a Christmas-themed game to be. It's kind of one of my little, you know, Christmassy hidden gems, I think.
Because I've been thinking about doing a Christmas Eve live stream on the channel, like playing some retro games and just talking with some folks. And that might be a game I check out. I'm going to check my Pi and see if it's on there. And you said it's on what, the Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo?
Yeah, the one I played was the Genesis one. I don't think I had the Super NES one. So I don't know if one's easier to get or even if the Super NES may have been like PAL, but I think it was released here. But they're both the same as far as I can tell. Just good, decent little platformer game. So
Sounds fun. Well, before we go, I do want Ryan to give his little plugs for his band. And again, on the description, I'm going to have the Casket Creatures Facebook as well, so you guys can check it out. But yeah, man, do you have any like shows coming up, any albums, singles, you know, stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, so I think if you want to check out the Casket Creatures, the best way to do it is check us out on YouTube, because we have some ridiculous music videos that, yes, I think that's a good way to be introduced to us. And then aside from that, I don't know if you guys have seen it at all, but I started a company with some friends where we do like theme park inspired, because I'm a theme park junkie. Like, you know, if y'all ever want to just like randomly talk about theme park related stuff or games, let me know. I'm a theme park junkie, so we made basically a company that makes like scented candles and different stuff, wax melts and stuff that are inspired by the rides. So, ooh, you know, if you walk into like the ET Adventure in Universal, you're like, oh, this like smells like, you know, like a forest or something with like a weird fog machine smell. Like, I like those kind of smells. So like we recreate them to where it's like you can have the memory of being on the Jaws ride or the King Kong ride or stuff like that. They're all inspired by that kind of thing. You can bring them home with you. So that's called themeparkalchemy.com. And please check that out. It makes great Christmas gifts. We got a lot of like Harry Potter inspired stuff. So if you're into that stuff too, you know, people love that stuff. So, but yeah, that's pretty much it. I just want to thank you guys. Merry Christmas to you guys and everyone that's listening. And thanks for having me, man. It's always a blast.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. And yeah, I will have a link to the Casket Creatures and that the scented candles, man. That's really crazy. That's so unique. That's kind of cool. I like that.
I've seen a lot of reviews of people that have got them. I'm planning on getting some myself because, like, the big thing about it is that recreating the scent of the ride, where I've seen people write reviews that said, hey, this smells like this ride, you know, and Brian being somebody that knows and his friends able to, you know, come together and actually make a scent that makes you think of a ride you went on that a lot of these don't even exist anymore. So even if you never actually get to go on the ride, you can still go and kind of experience something of what it was like, you know, with at least like a cool smell.
I will say, Ryan, if you do make one smell and recreate it, it's not a ride, but if you can make a candle that smells like Toys R Us, I will buy a couple of those, because dude, that was like the one thing that I missed the most when Toys R Us were not out of business here. It's like it always had the same smell. It smelled like melted army men. Like
yep. I knew exactly like the scent profile you're talking about. And I think it would totally be possible to recreate it.
Oh god.
So we'll look into that.
Definitely, definitely. Anyway, guys, as always, thank you so much for listening, and thank you for spending another year with XS Gaming. We will see you guys 2019. As always, thanks for listening, and happy gaming.
Have a Merry Christmas, and don't watch Mother Krampus.
I'm going to watch it immediately.
Go for it.